on Proverbs 20, verse 4. This text has meant a lot to me in recent years, and that's why I've chosen it to bring before you tonight. The Lord has used it several times to stir my heart to pray, and my prayer is that that would be how He would use it tonight for your heart, that He would draw us to Himself in prayer. This text is very sobering because it puts before us the truth regarding work ethic, that we all reap what we sow. You'll reap what you sow. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. So you reap what you sow, or as one man puts it, your present conduct will determine your future conditions. So it's interesting to me, this text, because lately I've been thinking about the agricultural illustrations in Scripture and how far removed a lot of us are from them, how we're so removed from that agricultural lifestyle, the harvest season, and so on. My wife has started a garden this year, so I'm becoming more acquainted with those things, and it's just interesting to see how often the Lord uses those illustrations in the Word to teach us spiritual truths. So most of you, if not all of you, understand this truth, the truth that the fruit of your labor, at least in general, depends upon your input. What you put into something is what you will most generally get out of it. That is this text's meaning, and its application is pretty obvious to the Christian's work ethic. But this text can apply to many areas of the Christian's life, but I want to consider this text as it relates to prayer and the application that it has for each one of us as we come to the place of prayer. Prayer, although it seems like a simple action, for most Christians, it's one of the most difficult aspects of our lives. For many of us, it's awkward, and sometimes we find it very difficult. At times, because it's difficult, the temptation is to neglect the place of prayer, to not give ourselves to prayer because of the difficulty. You can see this in the lives of many characters in the Bible, but you can see it particularly in the lives of Peter, James, and John. In Matthew chapter 26, our Lord enters into the Garden of Gethsemane. He begins having the burden of our sin really pressed upon Him. He begins to come under that devastating weight of our sin. And He enters into the Garden of Gethsemane, and He takes with Him Peter, James, and John. And as He goes there, He begins to pray, and He tells His disciples to watch with Him, to watch with Him in prayer. And as He finishes praying for the first time, He comes to them. In verse 40 we read, "And He cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And we have to wonder, knowing that the Lord was a man of great times of prayer, that He went and spent all nights in prayer to God on several occasions, I wonder if this was a common occurrence. The Scriptures don't tell us that, but I wonder if the disciples found themselves often struggling to stick with the Lord in His long nights of prayer. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And this is often the experience of many Christians. And as I apply this text to the place of prayer, I want you to consider tonight that you will reap what you sow in the place of prayer. I want you to see from this text, first, the excuse of the sluggard and the neglect of the plow and the result at the harvest. The excuse of the sluggard. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. That is his excuse. It's too cold to go and plow the field in order to sow the seed, in order to have the harvest. Very often, this is a similar excuse for Christians. At least I give my personal experience. I don't believe I'm the only one who's ever had a time of prayer that has felt cold, where the heart is not warm and it's difficult to pray. And the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. And sometimes the Christian will not pray or finds it difficult to pray due to the coldness of our hearts. What the sluggard fails to realize, or rather is too lazy to admit, is that he might start out cold initially, but as he begins to plow, it will warm up his body. If any of you ever gone out to work in the wintertime, you start out and it's very cold, but once you begin moving, once you begin working, your body will warm up and it's not so cold anymore. And so as the sluggard fails to realize this, that he would warm up if he would just begin plowing, so Christians fail to realize that though we may start out cold in prayer, if we would persevere and we would begin to pray, very often the Lord in His mercy warms our hearts and draws us to Himself. Not to the same degree every time, but He is faithful to draw near to those who draw near to Him. James 4:8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. So as plowing warms the body for the sluggard, or would warm the body of the sluggard, so prayer will warm the heart of the Christian who perseveres in prayer. But notice that this refusal to plow by the sluggard is not due to a lack of equipment. And that brings me to the neglect of the plow. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. The thing to notice here is that the sluggard has a plow. It's not as if he doesn't have the equipment to do the work that's required of him. But it says the sluggard will not plow. The second most important piece of farming equipment at this time was the plow. It enabled you to do the work that you needed to sow your seed to have plenty in the time of harvest. This piece of equipment, though primitive, was very advanced for its time, and this sluggard has one. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. He has a plow. And could you imagine having such a piece of equipment as this and not putting it to use? Do you imagine God providing you with such a piece of equipment as this and not giving it your all and going out and using it to the fullest extent, so that you could sow your seed and have a mighty harvest? Well, as the sluggard cannot say that his refusal to plow is due to a lack of equipment, so the Christian cannot say that our refusal to pray is due to a lack of access or due to a lack of means. As a Christian, you have access to God through Jesus Christ. The sluggard has his plow that enables him to do the work. The Christian has access to God through Jesus Christ that enables us to come to God in prayer. Ephesians 2:18, for through Him, that is Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And yet even with that knowledge that every Christian should have, very often we can still be cold when coming to pray. The same way that the sluggard knows he has the plow, but he still makes an excuse not to use it. As a Christian, you also have the means of grace at your disposal. You have the Word of God, which enables you to meditate on what God has said in order to warm your heart. You also have prayer itself. You can ask God as you come to prayer to warm your heart. And as I have experienced myself, God is very gracious to answer that prayer and give us that warm heart that we need to come to Him in prayer. Christ has told us in John 14:13-14, and whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. to be people, God's people, who have the Word of God, access to God through Christ, and precious promises such as this from His Word. We have an abundant means and a consistent, steady access to God in prayer. So we cannot neglect the place of prayer. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. The sluggard has a plow, but he finds an excuse not to use it. The Christian has access to God, and we should never neglect our access that we have through Christ. If you do not plow and sow, then you do not have anything to reap. It's true in the agricultural world, and it's true in the place of prayer, which brings me to the result at harvest. The result at harvest. The harvest time is a time where you go out and you reap what you've sown. You reap your crops. You go out and take what God has blessed you with in His provision in sustaining your crops. And Christ gives several illustrations to us in the New Testament using the idea of the harvest to communicate spiritual truths. In John 4:35 through 36, He tells us, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." In Matthew 9:37, "Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." The Lord was fond of using this illustration of the harvest to teach His people. And as we have it here in John's Gospel, referring to the Gospel going forth into the fields that were white unto harvest, people who were ready to receive the Gospel. And then Matthew 9:37, where He says, there is a harvest that is ready. We only need the laborers to come forth to go into the harvest. So as the Lord uses the harvest to communicate these spiritual truths, and as our text relates the harvest as being a time for the sluggard to beg and have nothing, I want you to think of the idea of harvest tonight as it relates to the place of prayer. I want you to think about the fact that God is ready and willing to hear and to answer the prayers of His people. That there is an abundance of answers waiting for those who will seek the Lord, who will call upon His name, who will seek Him with their whole heart. Think of the mighty harvest of answers that God is ready to give forth if you would but ask Him in the name of His Son. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." But if we put that in the reverse, if you ask not, then it will not be given. If you do not seek, you will not find. And if you do not knock, then it will not be opened unto you. So tonight, let us take heed to what the Lord has said. Let us ask, let us seek, and let us find. Do not be like the sluggard at harvest time, begging and having nothing, having put no labor in and expecting to reap a harvest. Not that we merit God's answers, but James does say, "Ye have not because ye ask not." There is a harvest of answers to be had if you would just seek Him tonight. And as the sluggard would make the excuse by reason of the cold that he would not plow, he thinks that excuse is acceptable, that it's going to pass. And I don't believe I'm the only one. In fact, I'll confess that I've sat in this very prayer meeting before and felt the coldness in my heart. And I've not prayed. And so I wanted us to look at this tonight, so that I can encourage each and every one of you that as you think about this text as it relates to prayer, to not be like the sluggard who refuses to plow by reason of the cold, but to pray in spite of the cold. I do not believe that this text is just a warning about work ethic, though it is that, but I believe it is also a beautiful promise that I want to bring before God tonight. The text says, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing." But if we read the text in the positive, instead of the sluggard, the diligent prays in spite of the cold, therefore shall he reap and harvest and have plenty. There's a promise contained in the work ethic taught here. The way the sluggard neglects the work that's before him, and he receives what he puts in, which is nothing. We can trust that as we put labor into prayer, as we lift up our voices to God, that he is faithful to answer, that he rewards those who diligently seek him, that we can come to him with confidence tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to have our hearts warmed and to lift up our voices together, to bear one another's burdens in the place of prayer. So whatever the weather of your heart tonight, whether it is cold or warm, let us lift up our voices. Let us pray together and get through to God. If you are cold, then pray yourself warm. But we can never get beyond the coldness if we refuse to lay hold of the plow. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing.
I hope you've picked up a song sheet. Does anyone need a song sheet? We're going to sing together what various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat. Let's stand together as we sing this. Yes, that verse 5 is very convicting, isn't it? At least it is to me. I'm quicker to complain, I think, sometimes than pray. Several things. Let's, first of all, we need to rejoice in what the Lord's done in Paul Schlimgen's life and in Lois Smith's life. We've been praying for them, and the Lord really has answered prayer. There's more to go, but we need to really thank the Lord for his mercy there and continue to pray for Jeanette. Now, you know, a lot of the care will fall upon her directly, and Paul David. You no doubt received the email about Mrs. Frank, Amy Frank, the wife of our Elder Jerry from the Alabama church, but she was tragically drowned on vacation just, I guess, yesterday. Pray for that family. Mrs. Gardner was telling me that they were having this vacation together as a sort of last vacation together because their daughter Elizabeth is to be married the 1st of August, just several weeks away, so we need to pray for them. You probably also, I just remind you of Luann's niece, Shannon. Pray for her in this cancer diagnosis in this young lady. And they ask that God would be gracious to her. Jonathan Trimble as well needs our continued prayers. Pray for our pastor. He's away for a little while, but as you can imagine, this is been a stressful several months, and so he needs the refreshing of rest and rejuvenating of the Holy Spirit. So please pray for him and his family as they're away from us, and pray for the services then this Sunday, Reverend Wagner. Pray for Reverend Wagner as he brings the word, and then two Sundays hence, Dr. Bob Jones III will be ministering to us. So we have good preaching to look forward to. Well, we just heard tonight, we all have plows, so let's use them tonight. Perhaps you're not accustomed to praying, but there are others who are going on this Wednesday night, so this would be a wonderful opportunity for you to just say a brief word. I neglected to remind you to pray for our missionaries especially. They face even greater stresses than we do dealing with the diseases. But let's pray. It's not that cold here, so we can take our plows and we can do a little plowing tonight. I'm going to ask Logan to lead us off, and then we'll pray, and then I will close at the appropriate time.